Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. New candidates, new constituencies, and perhaps a new normal for politics in Singapore, fought on a mainly digital and broadcast battleground on the back of a pandemic, GE 2020 was closely watched. And to break down the biggest events of this year's general election and what it means for the future of politics in Singapore, we're joined by Dr. Gillian Koh, a Deputy Director of Research at the Institute of Policy Studies. Well, Gillian, thank you again for joining us to wrap up the GE coverage. You've been with us through this whole journey, so thanks again for your time.
Yeah, happy to be speaking to you again, Rachel.
So last time we spoke, Gillian, it was just coming up to polling day, and Saturday, Singapore Singaporeans woke up to a familiar headline that the People's Action Party were back in government, but also to perhaps a new normal of an entrenched opposition party in parliament. Does this really spell out a new era for politics in Singapore, Gillian?
Yes, I think certainly with 10 duly elected opposition parliamentarians from the Workers' Party, I think this is a good outcome, not just for those who support the PAP, but those who look at the development of democracy in Singapore. And, you know, the Secretary General of the PAP actually reached out and said that he would designate the leader of the Workers' Party, Pritam Singh, as the leader of the opposition. I think that's quite a significant move because, first, it institutionalizes the role of the opposition. That is not a marginal role that is, let's just say, to be extreme, to be flicked off or to be gotten rid of. This is recognition of the role of the political opposition in our political system and in parliament. And secondly, of course, to reinforce that point, being leader of the opposition is not just about organizing the legislative agenda of the opposition, but it's got a public and foreign profile, because visiting dignitaries will be able to sort of now, when they want to get a better feel of democracy in Singapore, have somebody to speak to. And it's quite important. I think, let's be honest, people look at Singapore and they've been saying for, certainly detractors, they look at Singapore and they've been saying for 50 years, oh, Singapore is an authoritarian state. But we've seen the level of contestation in this general election. Mm-hmm. We've seen actually a 10.7% swing to the Workers' Party. And also with the newcomer, Progress Singapore Party, that it's performed creditably in the areas that it contested, averaging a 40.9% hold on votes. So this really is a very important development for Singapore. New normal, it really means that you'll have a clear alternative voice in parliament.
Let's rewind a little bit, Gillian, as well, and take a look at some of the numbers. Because, you know, for example, West and East Coast were defended by the PAP. We saw 51% and 53% of votes. But how significant overall is the shift in voting pattern this election?
Well, it was a surprise that East Coast didn't do better, but it was saved or rescued by, Heng Swee Keat, say, some analysts. So it's safe in PAP hands, and Heng Swee Keat sort of, delivered that GRC. And West Coast, again, it was a surprise that the PSP came so close. And West Coast, of course, is therefore held by the PAP with the slimmest of margins, and that's why the PSP team is going to be is invited to offer two NCMPs. But Rachel, I think ST sort of published a very clear set of figures for margin of victory. And when I took a quick look at it and tried to assess what do we make of the results in terms of their implications for the 4G leaders. And really, this is just one data point, because the 4G leaders do so much. They've been carrying the kind of burden of responding to COVID-19 and, so many policy positions and decisions, from housing to manpower, and so on. But when you look at how the figures stack up for margin of victory, then within the GRCs that are being helmed by the 4G leaders, this is the order in terms of strength of support. The first on the top is Sembawang, which is anchored by Ong Ye Kung. The second is Tampines, which is anchored by Masagos. But remember, this is where Heng Swee Keat had built up the political capital before he moved to East Coast this time around at the last minute, or at least we are told, as a last minute surprise candidate there. The next one is Josephine Teo, the manpower minister. She came under fire, or was really had to explain, you know, the infections in the foreign worker dorms. But there she is, number three in terms of margin of victory. Next, Lawrence Wong and Marsiling UT. And then Tanjong Pagar, which is helmed by Chan Chun Sing. So I think that though it's one data point, the party, People's Action Party, will take a look at that and really assess what's the standing of the various 4G leaders, because surely there's going to have to be some cabinet reshuffle. There will be need for a new Minister of Transport, because Khaw Boon Wan did not contest in this election. And there are various 3G leaders, for instance, Dr. Ng Eng Hen, who's been in the Ministry of Defence for very many years. And so there's a lot of scope for, you know, really stretching the 4G leaders. So how are we going to see the cabinet reshuffle shape up? Will this be an important data point, or will there be other data points to kind of balance up the picture, and we'll see how, you know, the various 4G leaders are going to stand at the end of that reshuffle.
Gillian, we can't really talk about what happened with the GE over the weekend without taking a look at what happened in Sengkang. And, you know, PM Lee's already said that the PAP will work hard to win back Sengkang GRC in the next election. But what's next for Sengkang from your perspective? I mean, WP's already spoken about setting up the town council.
Indeed, I think it's vital that there is a smooth handover process for the Workers' Party team, because this is where there'll be a lot of scrutiny. But of course, the processes have been rationalized and sort of now set clear vis-a-vis 2011, when the Workers' Party took Bao Junit, the first GRC, to fall to the opposition. So that first order of business is really to manage a very smooth transition. And the Pritam Singh has actually said that the current vendors in managing the town council or the various managing agents, you know, dealing with the municipal affairs there will be maintained. So there's not going to be a sudden stop, which will put a lot of pressure on the team to kind of make good on. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is really that, there has to be quite a lot of groundwork in order to crystallize public policy positions. I think the team in Sengkang was very effective in identifying with the issues that surface among young couples, young families there, as well as some key infrastructural issues, in that area. Of course, they're going to advocate for changes, but they're not the government. So that day-to-day interaction on the town council is important, but also the kind of medium-term, broader adjustments to what does the estate look like, what are the facilities that's going to have to take place as well. So I think it'll be interesting to watch the young team there. Final point is this. There is the matter of Ms. Raisa Khan. Mm. We know that towards the end of the hustings, police reports were made about her comments on issues to do with race and religion and also the foreigner aspect and how public authorities deal with some of those issues. So she brought the question of whether there is some form of, let's put it bluntly, systemic racism that's taking place in the public sphere. Quite serious allegations, but of course these are this happens on Facebook, and I think the Minister of Law said, you know, in the last 2 days that millennials and younger citizens do tend to speak in a certain way about these very sensitive issues. So how will that play out? What will happen with these police reports and investigation? And on the part of the WP, the Secretary General Pritam Singh has said that after the election, he'll also be looking at these issues closely. So there is that one cloud that's hanging over a member of the Sengkang team.
So just one last question for you, Gillian. How do you think all of this will shape the political landscape, or how will it shift further in the next 5 years?
Well, it's clear, as we discussed, that there will be formal channels for alternative views to be surfaced in Parliament with a bigger block of duly elected opposition parliamentarians. That's very important because they feel and they've argued that it's important to have a constituency to represent. So I think that even before the election, you know, the PAP leadership had already said that the key thing is about moving to not just the political new normal that we're talking about post GE 2020, but really a COVID new normal. And if we can actually see the end of the COVID crisis, there's still the post-COVID new normal. So there's going to be a lot of policy issues to discuss, but as you said also, the issue of women's welfare, what was brought up in Sengkang, the recognition of unpaid care, you know, what can be done better since we are an aging society, what do we do for carers? And I think that, so in addition to the COVID new normal set of policies, there's the kind of more family-based issues that will have to be managed. The other thing that, you know, Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong had said just before the election was that he recognized that there were concerns and anxieties about livelihoods and, this is the most important point, that there may be need to look at strengthening of social safety nets. And we can expect that that's going to be at the heart of discussion. Finally, again, before this, the PM-designate Heng Swee Keat had already announced that there are two important committees that are going to look at macroeconomic policy, policy relating to business, as well as you know, social issues, so that the cohesion across the country is maintained while we cope with you know, very troubling, difficult issues in this COVID era and with geopolitical tensions.
Well, Gillian, thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you again and to your audiences, Rachel.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and we've been speaking with Dr. Gillian Koh, Deputy Director, Research at the Institute of Policy Studies.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.